BSI on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Bob Zimmerman. He keeps the website Behind the Black. SpaceX stories dominating the news because they're successful. This is SpaceX and Axiom. Bob, what is it? We know what SpaceX is. We know what the Falcon 9 is. What is Axiom? Good evening to you, Bob.
Good evening, John. Axiom is a private company that is in the process of developing its own space station. And that space station will, to start off, be a component of the International Space Station. They will add modules to ISS. And once they've got enough modules attached to their part of the station, it will be able to function independently. And when the government decides to deorbit ISS, they will detach and become an independent station. It might do it much sooner than that, but they will become an independent space station. In the meantime, though, Axiom is flying commercial flights. They flew an earlier one. They called it AX-1, in which they flew, this was about a year ago, a little more than a year ago, they flew a crew to ISS using a Dragon capsule on SpaceX's Falcon 9. Essentially, Axiom hired SpaceX to provide the transport facilities for its astronauts. And so they just did it again this past weekend. SpaceX launched a crew of four to ISS. They're going to be at ISS for 8 days. The crew is interesting. The commander, NASA now requires that any commercial crew is going to ISS hire a former NASA astronaut as commander. So they hired former NASA astronaut Peggy Whitson to be the commander of this flight. And then there were three passengers, one of which, her co-pilot, and I'm sorry, I don't have his name right in front of me. He flew on the previous Axiom flight, and he's flying now as a co-pilot with a professional astronaut, Peggy Wilson. The other two passengers were passengers from Saudi Arabia, paying passengers, one a man, one a woman. They are the first Saudis to go to ISS. They joined, by the way, a United Arab Emirates astronaut who's been up there for 6 months, who paid his way from SpaceX. So we've got a bunch of the Middle East is taking over ISS. That's basically a Middle East space race going on, and it's a success. And they'll be up there for 8 days, John.
And the reason this goes forward is because it's entirely a commercial operation, correct, Bob?
That's correct.
There's no government involvement whatsoever that you can find.
Well, there is government involvement. Once they get to ISS, NASA is involved, and the partnership is involved, and NASA charges a lot of money to come to the station. It is one of the reasons there have been private missions that don't go to ISS, and it's one of the reasons that there are now private companies proposing to build a station in conjunction with SpaceX that would be independent of ISS entirely, or NASA entirely. But right now the government involvement has to do with ISS itself. They're in a government facility, and it's acting as their hotel, and it just charges exorbitant rates. And so, you know what happens when you overcharge? Competitors show up, and that's what I expect to happen soon here.
Lawfare is what it's called geopolitically, using the law in order to achieve a result that ordinarily you would not be able to. The lawfare in this instance is by a group of organizations, some of which are environmental, and it's directed against the FAA in order to oblige the FAA to do something unlikely towards SpaceX. I'm being very general, Bob, because this is very specific language and you've written it up. What is it the lawsuit wants to achieve?
This lawsuit was filed about 2 weeks ago by a bunch of environmental groups led by the Center for Biological Diversity. The CBD is famous for suing the government. The government knows it's going to sue. It even provides the CBD with information necessary to make the court suit available. And then the government actually budgets money and settles the suit and gives CBD money. And so that's how the Center for Biological Diversity functions. It's essentially, you got a nice business here. It'd be a shame if something happened to it. And so they sued they and a bunch of others, including the surfers who like to surf on the beach at Boca Chica, and a fake Indian tribe that's never was named the United States at all. It's actually a lobbying corporation that has nothing to do with Indians. They sued, and they sued the FAA, saying the FAA should never have issued a license to SpaceX to launch Super Heavy Starship last month. And they don't want any more launches allowed. And so they sued. And so that's where it was. And they were suing the FAA, not SpaceX. So the story this week is that SpaceX has submitted a motion to become a defendant with the FAA in the lawsuit. They want to be named as one of the defendants, and that's because they have specific interests. The FAA is not going to defend take their side entirely, and they have invested 10 years and $3 billion in Boca Chica, and their entire Super Heavy Starship program, which NASA needs for going landing on the moon, is threatened if Boca Chica gets shut down. So they wish to be part of this suit and be able to bring their interest into it. As they note, the FAA does not adequately represent their interests. This is what they've done. And what this means is the FAA, being a government agency, is not going to fight this case as strongly as the private company would. Plus, you've got elements within the federal government and the Biden administration that are in favor of this lawsuit and want to shut Boca Chica down and Elon Musk and SpaceX.
What is it what is the offense, Bob? Does it have one detail that we can hold on to as what they're trying to prevent happening again?
No more test flights. That's what they want. They want to shut down Boca Chica. No, it's very simple. They do not want any more Super Heavy Starship launches from Boca Chica. They want to shut the facility down.
Is it based on an event, or is it just a theory?
The one test flight that occurred, as we all know, did more damage to the launch pad than expected. And SpaceX was a little surprised by how much damage that occurred, but it wasn't so much damage that it wasn't fixable. And they also had prepared a new design that they were going to put in after that first test flight. But because of that damage, they claim this is environmentally terrible and we can't have such things. And so they sued. And they want it shut down. And that's about, you know, the rationality of the lawsuit is doesn't exist, because we know from empirical fact that spaceports are actually very good for wildlife and the environment, because Kennedy's been there for 50 years. Vandenberg's been there for more than 50 years, and they both create wildlife refuges that the wildlife love. They protect they prevent development, and wildlife thrives within those spaceport regions. And so this court suit is bogus. It's bad. But the FAA is not the best person to defend SpaceX's interests. So SpaceX wants to be in on it. And this means the big guns are now being hauled out, because SpaceX has the money and the aggressiveness to fight this hard. And since the case itself is somewhat weak, this is a good sign that SpaceX wants in. Whether they'll get in, you know, the court could rule otherwise. But their case is strong that they're party to this. They have standing. If this lawsuit wins, they get shut down. That's a major damage to their company. They have every right to fight here. And so that's where we are now.
A major investigation on something that I took for granted. Methane, sometimes called methane, is used for rocket fuel. I believe SpaceX uses methane, Bob, doesn't it? Rather than
let's still do the history correct here. Methane as a fuel for rockets is actually a completely new thing. And in fact, as far as I'm doing this from memory, there maybe have been one successful launch, but I think at this moment in time, no methane-fueled rocket has yet reached orbit. There might have been one. Maybe Firefly did it. But there's about a whole range of companies that are trying to launch rockets now using methane, because methane not only burns cleaner than kerosene, it provides more power, and it's easier to handle than hydrogen, which is more powerful, but really difficult to handle. And so a lot of companies are switching to it. Blue Origin wants to use methane whenever they get to launch finally. Relativity has already done one test flight with its methane Terran 1 test rocket. And like I say, SpaceX is using methane on its Super Heavy Starship rocket. And it's all because it's cleaner, it's more powerful, and it's easier to handle. So what happens? The three government agencies now are investigating the safety of methane-fueled rockets. This is another bogus example of the bureaucracy, the Washington swamp, stepping in where it has no business or doesn't really know anything and making trouble for everybody else. The FAA has set up a test program to study the explosive potential of such rockets. The thought is, well, gee, what happens if these tanks of methane explode or mix with oxygen that, you know, oxidizes it, makes it powerful, makes it work? What if they mix on the launch pad and explode? What is the risk to the area, to other nearby launch pads? So they're going to be setting up a crane 43 meters tall. What is it, about 140 feet, to drop stainless steel containers containing mixtures of oxygen and methane to see what happens when they hit the ground. This is all absurd. First of all, the shuttle and NASA's SLS rocket use hydrogen. You can't tell, and they put a lot more hydrogen than methane in those tanks, of SLS especially. You can't tell me that the power of a explosion from hydrogen isn't going to be worse than methane. It's got to be a lot worse, but they didn't do any of these tests. Yeah, it's a government rocket. Here they're doing these tests. And I should point out that NASA and the Space Force are also doing jointly a separate study to see how these methane-fueled rockets threaten launch range and nearby launch pads. I repeat, this is a case of, once again, the swamp getting involved. The forces within Washington that don't want SpaceX to succeed, I think, are part of this. There might be some arguments for these studies, but I think they're mostly bogus, John. But we know of one thing for certain. These studies are going to slow down development of SpaceX and others.
The Air Force has made a decision. Ursa Major rocket engine.
Ursa Major is a company. It's a new startup rocket company, rocket engine company. They don't make rockets. They make rocket engines. They have a bunch of different contracts already. They have a previous contract to deliver their small Hadley engine to both the startups Phantom, Vecta, Astra, as well as the Air Force. They are building a larger engine called the Arroway that is designed to replace the Russian engines used by Northrop Grumman on its Antares rocket. Well, now the Air Force Research Laboratory has awarded them another contract to develop two different rocket engines. One is to help development of the Arroway rocket, because this, once again, would replace Russian-made engines, and we don't want to use those anymore. The other part of the contract will help them develop an engine they call Draper, the engine, for hypersonic missile tests. Air Force wants to do more hypersonic missile tests. They've got Strata Launch as a test bed for doing those launches, so now they want engines to test it. And they've hired Ursa Major to do this. Now, Ursa Major has arrived here and is being successful because their major challenger is Aerojet Rocketdyne, which has been around for decades, big space, and they've always overcharged a lot of money and taken forever to build their rocket engines. And so Ursa Major's come along and is providing new engines fast and cheap. And so that's a challenge for Aerojet Rocketdyne. Whether they can meet that challenge is a question mark, John, but the competition is good.
Balloons. They've been in the news a lot recently. The surveillance balloon launched by the People's Republic of China. I believe there are a couple of balloon outfits looking for tourism. And now you tell us India's practicing high-altitude balloons. This is a trend that's become a fad, Bob.
Yes, there are two American companies, Space Perspective and Worldview, that are getting ready to launch high-altitude balloon tourist flights. These would go up to about 20, 25 miles. You'd get to be up there for several hours instead of 5 minutes on Virgin Galactic, and much cheaper, too. And they're getting ready to fly in 24. There's a third company in Spain called Halo Space that's targeting its first launch in 25. Well, now an Indian company, Space Aura, is joining this competition. And they hope to fly a high-altitude balloon for tourists by 25 as well, though they think 26 is more likely for them. So we've now got four different companies in three different nations of the world offering high-altitude tourist flights on balloons. I think there's value to this. I mean, they realize that people are willing to spend a lot of money, a lot more money, to go on a five-minute roller coaster ride on a suborbital rocket for 5 minutes. This gives you, you know, a six-hour journey for about a third the cost, and that's why a lot of companies...
Bob, I'm going to ask a question that I don't know the answer to, and you might not, but it just occurred to me as you rattled out all this competition. Is there a regulator for balloon flights the way there is for rocket flights and airplane flights?
I would imagine the FAA is involved. You've got to get FAA licenses, launch licenses, because they got to make sure these... I'm not 100% sure of this, but I'm basing this on just common sense, that anything flying in those high altitudes that's going to go up through, you know, above the flight paths of planes by a considerable distance, but they've got to fly up through that. So they've got to get permission, you know, permits, so they don't, there's no conflicts. And that's about it. Other than that, and that's in the United States. Out of the United States, you know, it's a different situation. I'm not sure what the rules are in Spain and in India. I should point out that the American companies intend to fly in many different places worldwide. So no matter what, they're going to be fulfilling whatever regulatory requirements that are imposed upon them.
Bob Zimmerman, Behind the Black. We're going exploring. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.